True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
High 6:11, typical summertime today. Hot, humid, chance for showers. It is June 19th, which is Juneteenth, which is a federal holiday. And it's one of those holidays that's just kind of starting to take shape because I think it started as a federal holiday back in 2021. So Wall Street is closed. The banks are closed. No mail delivery. But again, it's one of those holidays where some people are off, some people aren't. For our company, it is a company holiday. I don't know about for yours. Juneteenth, in case you don't know, is the celebration started the freed and enslaved people of Galveston, Texas. Although the Emancipation Proclamation freed and enslaved people in the South in 1863, it could not be enforced in many places until after the end of the Civil War in 1865. And Union Major General Gordon Granger and his troops arrived at Galveston on June 19, 1865, with news that the war had ended and that the enslaved were now free. And that was more than 2 months after General Lee surrendered to General Grant in Virginia. So it was, I guess, a couple of months late. And I guess you could really, in a way, compare it to like the liberation of the camps in Auschwitz, although there was not, I don't want to start drawing comparisons here, but I guess in terms of significance, that's the way it's looked at. And I'm just, anyway, I'm working. Greg McBride joins us now, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning, Tommy. Great to be with you.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell me what's going on with the Fed, because, man, back in the day, it wasn't too long ago where the Fed was just, we didn't know who the chairman was. We didn't know what they did. Maybe we still don't know who they are. We do know who the chairman is, and we watch what they do, but maybe we don't quite understand what it means. So with that being the backdrop, explain it to us, Greg.
Well, the Federal Reserve is the nation's central bank, and effectively they're charged with maintaining what's called monetary policy, and that's basically the price of money, and maintain that at a level that increases the odds of full employment, keeping unemployment low, and enhancing price stability. In other words, keeping inflation low. Inflation's been a real issue the last 4 years. Nobody needs a reminder, excuse me, of that. And so the Federal Reserve raised interest rates very aggressively in 2022 and 2023, effectively stomping on the brakes, raising the price of money, reducing demand to get inflation under control. It's come down significantly, but it's still higher than they'd like it to be. The goal is 2%, still running north of that. The prospect of tariffs could drive it even higher. And so they're not quite at the point where they're ready to take the foot off the brake pedal anymore because, there's still concern about inflation. Unemployment's still low, but there's also some softness in the labor market. So, they're not in a hurry to cut rates at this point, but that could change in the coming months if we start to see more deterioration in the job market.
Let me take a step back here, if I can. We're talking to Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate, about the Fed and not changing interest rates. But it seems to me, you know, if I can make an analogy with the Fed here, it seems as though it's like a dog shows up, no disrespect, but a dog shows up in your yard and then you don't do anything about it. And then before you know it, it becomes your dog and you just take it for granted that the dog's always been there and it's part of your life. When in fact, you didn't really invite the dog in, but it just happened to show up. Now, all of a sudden, it's there as part of your life every day. Tell me about the origins of the Fed. How did we come to have a Federal Reserve and why it came into being?
Well, it was before my time, but it was a little over 100 years ago.
Let's hope it was before your time, Greg. I hope you weren't there for the founding of that.
It was created as a regulator, financial regulator, and then also with the monetary policy, Congress gave them the powers to control the price of money, the benchmark interest rate, in an effort to maximize employment and keep prices stable.
Were there conditions in the country that led to the formation of the Fed or not? And I guess the question is, do we still need the Fed?
To answer the first part of that question, yes, there had been a rash of bank failures, and so they needed a central body to regulate banks and also control that monetary policy, so there was a more stable environment for banks to be able to operate. Of course, that was during the Industrial Revolution. The economy was growing very quickly, so you needed a stable and functioning bank sector. As for whether we still need the Fed, clearly, if you look at the history of economies around the world, that those that have an independent central bank, they have a much higher level of economic growth, much more consistency in economic growth, and lower levels of inflation than those that don't. So, I think we'd all sign up for that, an environment where, you've got higher likelihood of consistent economic growth and low inflation. I think that sounds pretty good to everybody, especially after the rampant inflation of the past few years.
So when it comes to the data that the Fed uses, I don't understand. You predict in the future based on the past, right, and based on history. This is an awesome responsibility that they have, because one thing, just like in an ecosystem, affects everything else. We were talking yesterday about tilapia and how an invasive species can destroy everything when it comes to an ecosystem. But when it comes to an economic system, one thing can change something else, can change something else. The Fed is basing their decision on what data and how reliable is that data, which I think is a fair question, right?
Yes, they do have to look forward. So, yes, they do use a ton of data, but, data is often backward-looking, and so they've got to use that, to inform the perspective of where the economy is. But ultimately, and it's funny you mentioned this, Tommy, because Fed Chair Powell actually said this during his press conference yesterday, because somebody asked a similar question, he basically said that, yes, we use a lot of that data, but the data itself is backward looking. We've got to base monetary policy on the future, on where the economy's headed. So that data is informative about where we are, but the data itself doesn't dictate what we do, because we have to be looking down the road and seeing what the future is going to be like. Economic conditions are going to be like, and govern it according to that.
Is there any way that to evaluate the Fed and how they've done with monetary policy, interest rates, et cetera, managing the economy to see if they've been successful or not, or as successful as they could have been? Because the only way you could do that would be to look at the decisions that they made predicting the future. And I'm not trying to blow anybody's mind here this early, but then look back and see if they were right or not, right?
Yeah, it's right for tons of Monday morning quarterbacking. They get second guessed all the time. And there's plenty of misses, no doubt about it. But if you look at just sort of the bigger picture of, we had the long prior to COVID, we had the longest economic expansion, uninterrupted economic expansion in U.S. history. The recessions that we've had have been fewer and tended to be shorter than what many international colleagues have experienced. You know, with the exception of the past few years, we had an environment of low and declining inflation for almost 40 years, with, you know, sort of just a couple of brief spurts, but you know, an environment where inflation was consistently trending lower over that 40-year period. You know, like I said, there's, you know, plenty of other misses. I mean, the, you know, that last bout of inflation that we had, I mean, they were late to recognize it, even later to do anything about it. And then because of that, because they were behind the curve, then they really had to raise rates in leaps and bounds. So I think that's certainly the most recent example of, you know, a clear whiff on that. But, you know, bigger picture, I think you stack the Federal Reserve up against central banks from other countries, I think their track record stands tall. And, you know, the U.S. economy, I think, is clear evidence of that.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Talking to Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate. Trying to understand what the Fed does and why they do it. They've decided to keep interest rates steady. And we'll talk about what that means for the average consumer like you or me when we come back. 621 Traffic, WWL. All right, we're back. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, with Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate. Fed decides to keep interest rates steady. So with that being said, Greg, what does this mean for consumers, people that are looking to buy houses, people that are looking to buy cars, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, interest rates are going to stay at these elevated levels. That's great news for savers, retirees in particular. They're earning really solid income on their hard-earned savings. That wasn't the case for many, many years. And so to string together a few years now where they're earning good income on that savings is, you know, a nice change. But from a borrower's perspective, you know, it's just, you know, it continues to be pretty tough sledding. You know, the average credit card rate's still north of 20%. Mortgage rates are at 7%. Even home equity lines, a lot of those are in double-digit interest rate territory. So the cost of carrying debt is high. The cost of borrowing continues to be high. So I think it's one of those where it continues to put some urgency on paying down that high-cost debt, that credit card debt. That rate's not going to come down fast enough to save the day. So you have to be aggressive about paying it down. Take advantage of those 0% and other low-rate balance transfer offers. That can really put the wind at your back. You won't have any interest charges. You have this long runway to get that debt paid off once and for all. So, you know, really recommend that. And you know, home prices have gone up, so people are sitting on a lot of equity, but it's no longer cheap to borrow from it. For many, many years, it was. It was, you know, you borrow at a mid or low single-digit interest rate. It was easy to deduct the interest from your taxes. It was, you know, on an after-inflation basis, it was like borrowing for free. That is not the case anymore. A lot of those rates are in double-digit interest rate territory. The tax law is different. It's not as easy to deduct the interest anymore. So it's high-cost borrowing. So if you need to tap into that equity, have a roof that needs replaced, or, you know, some major home repair, have a game plan for how you're going to pay that back, because the interest, you know, it carries, it packs a punch, you know, unlike, you know, what it was for many, many years. And perhaps the last time you tapped into that equity when it was a lot cheaper, it's a different ballgame now.
And if you have a mortgage in the twos, threes, or fours, you definitely, if you want to get money out of your house, look at a HELOC and not refinance. You don't want to touch that 2, 3, or 4 rate mortgage, do you?
You nailed it. Yeah, you don't want to be trading that away. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we see low inventory of homes available for sale, is that a lot of those that have the 2, 3, 4% mortgages, they're not looking to move. They want to hold on to that loan. That, you know, the idea of trading that in and taking out a new mortgage on a different place at 7% is not very appealing. So, you know, that's kind of contributing to this environment where we've got limited inventory, and that's, you know, helped keep a floor under prices in many areas, but that's also, you know, kept a lot of prospective home buyers on the sidelines because of affordability constraints.
Less than a minute left, but I got to ask you, Greg, is there a direct correlation between what the Fed does and mortgage rates?
Not a direct correlation. What the Fed controls is a short-term interest rate. Mortgage rates are based on longer-term interest rates, and so things like the outlook, longer-term outlook for the economy, inflation, things like government debt and deficits play a big role in the movement of those long-term rates.
So if people are looking for interest rates to come down and buy their first home, for example, or get into the housing market, they're going to hope that the government gets a handle on debt and deficit. Accurate?
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. That's right. Thank you, Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
For Bankrate, look, I'm just a messenger, just putting it out there. We'll talk to Mike Strain. We come back. Time now, WWL First News. 6:43, 17 till 7, Thursday morning means we're getting close to the weekend. Also means it's time to talk to Mike Strain, Dr. Mike Strain, respected veterinarian, also Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike Strain?
Man, I am doing great. I just returned from a meeting of the Southern Association of State Departments of Agriculture and a Southern Trade Association, mm-hmm. SUSTA. And so it was very good, very productive. Been, you know, for a few days with my fellow ag commissioners talking about, all things agriculture, mm-hmm. and all things trade.
So what are some of the commonalities, I guess, that you and other, the Louisiana and other states have to deal with and some of the issues that you guys talked about?
Well, one, you know, we look, take a hard look at what's going on with the Farm Bill and, of course, quote, the one big beautiful bill, as they call it, mm-hmm. how that affects agriculture, everything from the tax discussions to, you know, the dip, you know, talking about trade and opening up new avenues for trade. We're all very active in that, looking at commodity prices and what we've got to do to help in, you know, correct and increase profitability with agriculture. And then looking at some emerging issues, such as dealing with a potential screwworm threat coming out of Mexico and any potential diseases that we may deal with. And we sit there and we work together because, you know, what's going on here, you're seeing the same thing in Mississippi and Texas and in Arkansas and very similar up the East Coast. So we work together. We meet with our USDA officials. We also met with members of Congress and had open, you know, discussions with them. And the main thing is that we've got to get all of our trade deals. These need to be really in effect going into August so that we can boost these commodity prices and also work together to move our products, which is about 20% of the United States total production, has to be sold offshore. And so opening new markets is a big deal. And again, we all work together towards that.
Mike, when, I don't mean to inject you in a political thing here, but when it comes to undocumented workers on farms in Louisiana and supply chains, and I don't know who gets who workers from what, could immigration raids have anything to do with supply chains, food for farmers for Louisiana? I don't know how they get their workers, how they don't get their workers. Do they have enough workers that are here documented? Go ahead, tell me about it.
Most of the workers here are documented workers. We rely heavily on H-2A and H-2B. Mm-hmm. They're here, you know, because generally they're here temporarily 6 to 9 months. You know, there's not a lot of issue with the undocumented workers here. So that's a good thing. Most of our farms
not
are
a lot
very
of issue in terms
scale.
Of farmers not using them, Mike?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. We use legal returning guest workers, which is in the legal H-2A and H-2B.
Gotcha.
And so even on our fruit and vegetable farms, we use mostly legal workers. So the illegal worker issue really isn't a big deal here like it is in California, for instance.
So what kind of effect could that have? You know, I know you're not the commissioner of agriculture in California or anything, but is that something that Americans have to worry about because we get our food from all different places, not just Louisiana? Is that something that could affect the supply chain, or are there enough visas?
Well, it could. It could if the workers aren't there, the product doesn't get picked. It's real simple. If that was the model that particular farm was using illegal workers, which I don't agree with, they need to use the legal workers. There is a mechanism for that. It does cost more to use the legal returning guest workers. You know, the average prevailing wage of a H-2B worker in Louisiana is between $14 and $18.50 an hour. Mm-hmm. They don't work at minimum wage. They work at the prevailing wage, and that plus bonuses based on production. And so our guest workers are, they're well paid. They work very hard. They take the money and go home. Plus, we have to pay for housing and transportation. And so, it does cost more, but that's the proper way to do it. And I think what the administration is going to do is try to lean more towards further developing that particular program to where we can use the legal workers because they pay taxes and everything else, and try to correct this situation over time.
I'm not making a case for illegal workers, believe me. I'm just saying that in terms of action and reaction, if farmers have to pay more for legal workers, does that eventually get passed on to us or not?
Well, yes, it would.
Okay.
It would turn to us. But most of the illegal workers, they're working in fruits and vegetables in California and other states. It's not an issue here. It's not an issue when you start talking about corn, cotton, beans, rice, because we don't use those, or sugar, any of those crops, or crawfish, for instance. It will not affect us at all. So there is a small subset there in California, but I do think that will get corrected.
Mike, you're a gifted veterinarian, a beloved veterinarian. I got to ask you this question. I'm watching, and I'm thinking about changing Teddy's name to Grady. I'm in the process of that. But I'm watching him just tear this toy apart, and he'll stop and look around, and he goes back to just tearing it apart and ripping it apart, and then he'll stop and look around and go back to tearing it apart. And I was just watching him yesterday thinking, what in the hell's going on in that brain? Do you have any idea what dogs are thinking about when they're destroying these things we buy for them? And all they want to do is look for any loose thread, any way they can possibly destroy it. And I'm not the only pet owner that's saying this. You know doggone well that this resonates with a lot of people. What are they thinking of?
Tear up anything.
Yeah, what are they doing? What is the thought process there? Because I was asking him yesterday. It's like, well, what are you thinking about here? Because I bought this for you. And all you want to do is tear it up, which, look, if you're leaving me alone so I can take a nap, okay, good, tear it up, that's fine. But I'm just wondering, what are you thinking about here? What's he thinking about?
It's part of their innate nature. You know, it's like they're out there hunting, they're hunters, mm-hmm. Remember, they're descendant of wolves. And so, when you get that toy and they attack it and shake it and pull on it and chew on it, that's part of what's really in their quote uncivilized brain, if you want to think about that. So it goes back, genetically. That's just the way they are. If Hootie's a bastard, Hootie's gonna be out there in that yard digging, mm-hmm. gonna be chasing the squirrels, gonna be tearing up any toys. So one of the things we do with Hootie, Hootie becomes a test ground for dog toys that we sell in a veterinary hospital. Let's see if it's Hootie proof. Mm. And when we had the Rottweiler, let's see if it was, Rottweiler proof. But they work on them, they chew on them, and we use a lot of the tough toys. And, they work on it until finally they'll tear it up, then they'll move to something else. But that's just their very nature. The older they get, the less they tend to tear things up.
Why are they trying
when they're young?
Why are they tearing it up? What is going on in their minds? What are they thinking of when they're doing this? What are they looking for something?
They're hunting and killing. They're hunting. If you've got them this stuffed toy, you see they attack it, they buy it, they tear it up. That really goes back and, to their hunter-killer feeding instincts as animals. So, remember, they're still a domestic animal. They have not evolved to the point of being us with more conscious thought. That's just in their innate nature.
He's killing
them. They love it.
He's killing my bank account,
I'll
tell you that.
I'm telling you.
Because there's not
you just got to get him more toys.
Have you found a toy?
Right.
Have you found a toy that is indestructible? Because I have not.
Well, I have one. I have a big red ball that has made it through about six Rottweilers and Hootie that is indestructible, and it's the size of a bowling ball. And I use a lot of those Kong toys, K-O-N-G.
Right.
And that, a lot of those are, quote, indestructible or lesser destructible over time. I do buy them rawhides, you know, the twisted rawhides, and they'll chew on that. And I buy them the cow hooves, and they smack on that. They're always chewing and smacking and having just a great time. Life is good for Hootie and Teddy.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, or maybe Grady. I'm thinking about changing his name, and I don't know.
Oh, Grady.
That's Grady. Yeah. I just like Grady better because, you know, I'm a San Francisco fan. I just like Grady. But when it comes to hooves, and somebody texted this in, and I had a question about this myself because there's a period where I went with dogs and then without dogs. Am I crazy, or did they have lamb hooves for a while that they sold, but it seems like they stunk, and now it's cow hooves? What's going on with that? Do you know?
Yeah, I never bought the lamb hooves. I bought many cow hooves. You know, we do that. That's it. We give it to them as a treat, and he chews on it. Yes, yeah. And you know,
but did they sell
their breath
lamb?
May be a little stinky, but they'll have nice, clean teeth.
Did they sell lamb hooves for a while, or am I making that up?
Not that I remember, because they're very small. These cow hooves are rather large. The lamb hooves would probably be really now. You look, they may have smoked lamb hooves, but I don't think so. Because you know we're not a big lamb eating lamb country, but we eat a lot of beef, and that's and you think about that as something that would have been disposed of, and now it's dog treats, and I tell you what, they love those hooves.
It's interesting. You go to a pet store, and one half of the store is very animal friendly. The other half, well, it's kind of animal renderings if you want to look at it that way. Hey, somebody wants to know if you can grow asparagus in Louisiana. Can you?
You can, but now you better have some patience. It takes multiple years, and so you can buy those asparagus plants. I have some asparagus growing on the farm, and you have to really, really, you got to get the soil right. You really make sure that the, quote, it doesn't like being too wet, so you got to build it up in a mound. But you better figure it's going to take probably 2 years or so before you get your first asparagus. But to get that nice big asparagus, these plants last 10, 12 years or so. Mm-hmm. So I've got some here on the farm that are at least 6 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. But yes, you can. And of course, they're slow growing, but it's something you just got to have a passion for. But yes, you can grow asparagus.
I don't know if I want to eat asparagus 2 years from now. It's a hell of a decision to make. Thank you, Mike.
Well, you eat the fresh, new asparagus, not the old asparagus. You know, this is the plant. The asparagus shoots up, and you got to cut it when it's young and tender because quickly it'll get too tough to eat.
How long does it take to grow it to eat it?
Oh, it will grow really. If when you trim your asparagus, it'll grow back in a few weeks. It grows quickly because the asparagus, if you leave it alone, it goes and becomes the vegetative part of the plant. Yeah, you need to try. You need to look at that because when you look at asparagus that has not been trimmed, you would not know that it's asparagus. Every little bud on that asparagus plant becomes part of the overall. Think about a bush or a plant, right? And that becomes, part of the foliage. So you let that grow, and then that provides the energy down to the roots, and then you can trim all that off, and fresh asparagus will grow up that you can harvest.
Learn some every time we talk to Mike Strain. Thank you, sir. Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 655, 5 till 7. Traffic now, WWO.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.